Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is alive. We thank you, God, that your word has life and, God, in it, even fruitfulness that will be born forth. And Lord God, we pray, God, that you would plant your seed in our hearts. We ask for open ears, open heart to receive everything that you desire to give us this morning. And Lord God, that you will bring the change even in our own hearts, God, by your word. Hallelujah. Make it come alive to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we were talking about last week authority. And we said, God has all authority. And when Jesus goes to the cross, buried, dead, resurrected, he speaks to his disciples at the end of Matthew. And we heard this verse last week. We're going to come back to it to start this week. It's the great commission that Jesus gives all disciples. But he says this, it's very important what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So central to even why we exist as a church and who we are, God's ecclesia, which is translated in our Bibles as church. Jesus makes it very clear that he sits in a position now that all authority in heaven and earth have been given unto him. In fact, it says that he is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, on the throne, ruling and reigning, sovereign Lord over all. And here he is giving us this commission, his church a commission. And he says, go. Go, make disciples of all nations. This great commission lets us know that there's a lot of work to be done. I think we would agree. There's a lot of work to be done on the earth today. And God grants authority to us to do this work. There is a working out of Christ's authority on earth. You see, when Christ came, he brought the kingdom. And literally, his kingdom is in breaking into the kingdom of this world. And it still is in breaking. It's still being spread to every corner of the earth. And we literally see that Christ is affecting every nation on this earth. So God speaks to his church, his ecclesia, and gives us a sphere of authority to engage in kingdom work. Do you know you have a sphere of authority to engage in kingdom work? You can engage in kingdom work today. We have that authority given to us. It's a privilege, and it's an authority. Ephesians 2, 6 says this. He says, God raised us up with Christ. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And then down in verse 8, same chapter, verse 8 through 10, it says this, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works God prepared in advance for us to do. So do you know? God has prepared in advance for us to do good works, kingdom works, Christ work on earth. He's given each of us that privilege, that ability to participate in this great work of God on the earth today. Do you see yourself in that? Do you see yourself as one of those? His ecclesia, his people, who are called by his name, that are given authority to bring change, transformation to this earth, to bring his kingdom to bear on this earth. Are you one of those? Do you see yourself? Do you identify with that? I think that's first and foremost, a very important question. Because we won't operate in any kind of authority unless we identify that we are those people, that we're one of those, that we can affect change, not because of who we are, because of who he is. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. Wow. That means we share because Christ has shared with us. He has given to us this ability. So we can live here on earth, yet we have this privilege to reign with Christ and to rule and to bring his rule here on earth. And part of this is simply exercising our God-given authority here on earth. So we might ask, me? Little old me? But who has authority? Who has God given authority to? The most basic answer is to those who are called by his name, who are sons and daughters of the king. So you have to see yourself that way. You have to see yourself as a son or a daughter of the king, that you belong to him. He's given you, he's given me, he's given us authority because we are called by his name. We bear his image. We have declared his glory, his lordship of our lives. And we have this ability to carry his authority. But hear this, we cannot move or minister with the authority of Christ unless we are submitted to him. Because that's what we do. We say, you are Lord, and you're my Lord. You are God of all. And we have to submit ourselves to his authority. My true submission to Christ as Lord opens the scenario where I can move and minister in the authority of Christ. Because it's those who are submitted, who are rightly submitted. If we think about this, I have to value what God has given me. You have to value what God has given you. And when we operate under his authority, we're operating at his word, according to his heart, according to his will. And so thus, we want that. When we value that, we submit ourselves. And we say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. I submit myself to you. So I ask you today, are you submitted to the Lord Jesus? Are you submitted to him? Because this is where authority flows. We cannot operate in authority if we do not live under his authority. And we have to value what he carries. We have to value the kingdom of God. We have to value him. We have to value his word. We have to hold it dear to our hearts. It has to be important to us. His voice has to be important to us. What he says, God's voice cannot be just one voice among many voices. If he's just one voice among many voices, then his voice really isn't that significant after all. And we're probably not listening to his voice. See, the early disciples had authority because they were submitted to Christ. They followed him. They were spending time with him. They were watching him. And then Christ says, go. Go. I want you to do the very same things that you've seen me do. He says this in Matthew 10, 1. He says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority. Remember, that word is exousia, which most times is translated authority. So Jesus gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. And then in verse 7, just a little further down, it says this. It says, as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. The disciples were given authority to do the very works of Jesus. Well, when they come back to Jesus later after going and doing, they come back and they're amazed. They're amazed that even demons obeyed us. They're given this authority and they obey. They were sent out and they obeyed and they went doing the works of Jesus. Let me come back to that, how important it was that they followed the very instructions of God. There were others in the Bible who knew about the power of the name of Jesus. They knew about that. They knew that demons left at the name of Jesus. They knew that Paul was driving out. Jesus had driven out. They knew about that. And they even incorporated it into their own work. You remember the story of the sons of Sceva? Where these were sons of a Jewish priest. And they were, you know, in Judaism, they did practice exorcism. They did practice those things. And here are the sons of Sceva, and I won't read all the scriptures out of Acts 19, but they go to cast out demons. They go to do this work. And what they find is that these demons obey the name of Jesus. So they start using the name of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They know about Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, and they've heard about demons submitting themselves to the name of Jesus. So they decided they would invoke the name. But they don't know this Jesus. See, the disciples knew Jesus. The disciples had a relationship with Jesus, and they were sent out by Jesus. So we know at the end what happens to the sons of Sceva. It's not very good, right? They fail miserably. They try, and the demon just looks at them and says, I know Paul. I don't know you. I don't know you. And so I'm not going to listen to you because you have no power. You may invoke Jesus, but you don't have the power or the authority. And so they were sent out, I understand, without clothes, beaten, a mess. So you got to have authority, right? In the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of darkness, what is recognized is authority. That's what's recognized. Okay? It's not how big my name is, not how big your name is. It's not what kind of earthly authority we carry. Nope. None of that matters. But when we carry the name of Jesus, it matters. So authority matters. It matters in the kingdom of God. It matters in the kingdom of darkness. So we always have to ask, what authority do we operate in? In our day-to-day, what authority do we operate in? Do we operate in our own human authority? Or do we recognize that in Christ, we have authority given to us? Everyone here, everyone who calls Jesus Lord, you have authority. Now, what does that look like in your day-to-day life? How do you submit to Christ's authority? See, we can do things that Jesus did. Wow. We can do things that Jesus did. We can have a very powerful prayer life. We can hear God's voice, and we have assignments to accomplish here on earth. We're invited to co-labor with Christ. That's a great privilege we're given, to co-labor with Christ. Christ could do it without us, but he chooses to do it with us, his people. He's the head, we're the body, okay? He's in authority, but he is mobilizing and moving his people on the earth today to bring his rule and reign over the earth. So we can learn to co-labor with Christ and to see God's work being done on the earth today. That's a great privilege. It's a great honor to be a part of that. So we have a very active role to play. Passivity is one of the worst things in the body of Christ. It's one of the worst things. God, you do everything, we'll do nothing. We'll pray, we'll throw some prayers at you so you can do more, but we'll do less. Passivity kills the church. Passive Christianity brings us to a dullness that we are losing out, really, on being vibrant Christians, robust in the Lord, drawing our strength from God, doing things that we were created to do. You know, you were created to be more than a conqueror. You were created to be victorious in Christ Jesus. But how would you know unless you operate in Christ's authority? You won't. You'll be dull and boring in your Christian faith. There's probably some other words I could come up with. But you'll be lifeless because you won't experience the victories that Christ has for you, because you won't be walking in his authority. Being walking in his authority is standing up and saying, I am a child of God. I have what God says I have. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I'm going to walk with Jesus today. Do you ever get determined in your mind and say, I'm not going to just crawl up on the couch today and just say, oh, Lord, protect me from the devil? Because when you're the one to actually grab that shield of faith, grab the word of God, armor yourself up, show up on the battlefield and say, I'm going to fight today because Christ has given me strength to fight. He's given me weapons of warfare. They're not my own. They belong to him, but he's given them to me. And so I can fight. I don't have to be a wimpy, passive Christian. I can be victorious in Christ Jesus because of the victory he's already won. He won it. Now we are just going out and proclaiming to the world, it is finished. It is done. Are you ready to participate in the kingdom of God? I realize we have an adversary who tries to discourage us every day. And he does a pretty good job, sadly, because he does get us down and he does get us discouraged. But the Lord says, encourage yourself in the Lord. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Armor yourself. The Bible says resist your enemy, meaning we have an enemy to resist. And we need to learn how to do it, because if we're not doing it, he's been taking ground. Sometimes we wake up one day and we don't realize how much ground he's taken, and it sometimes can shock us how much ground he's taken. And we say, oh my, I've been asleep. I need to pick up and fight this battle. We don't fight alone, ever fight alone. But if our relationship with Christ is weak, we'll have weak results in our lives. And we won't be very powerful. We have to learn to walk out of a relationship with Christ that is strong and robust. The enemy wants us to think that we're weak, we're helpless, we can't do anything. But in Christ, again, we're more than overcomers. We can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens us, but that's where we have to be, in Christ. Every day. So we have a very active role to play. You know, God loves petition prayers, and petition prayers are wonderful. But petition prayers are always, God, do for me, or do for this situation, or do for others, and that's fine, that's great, but God also wants us to learn that we have authority. We have authority to go beyond petition prayers, and sometimes it's discernment and wisdom. Sometimes we have to actually speak to a situation out of a position of authority in Christ. Out of a position of authority in Christ, I can speak to a situation. I can speak to sickness and say, go, cancer, go out of my body or out of this person's body. And so we have to speak, but we only speak from the authority of Christ. We don't speak by our authority, but we can speak. We can decree God's will over a situation. We can decree God's word. What does God's word say about the situation? What does God's word say over my life or over somebody or over a relationship or a situation? Well, let me decree God's word over it. Sometimes God looks at us and says, because we will pray and say, God, what are you going to do? And sometimes God says, well, what are you going to do? And it comes back to us, because that's the co-laboring, that's the participation with him. Bill Johnson says this about prayer. He says, prayer is not supposed to be begging God to invade a situation. Rather, it is joining with the Father, seeing his heart, and making the decrees necessary to bring his will on earth. Now, I love when I was hearing Bill Johnson speak on this, because Bill Johnson did not declare that he had arrived. He didn't declare that, oh, he's experiencing all authority and everything he does is just, everything he speaks and everything he prays is done. In fact, he was saying, while I've experienced God's authority, I've experienced walking with Christ and seeing amazing things happen. He was also saying, I want to see more. I want to experience more. I want to know more of what it's like to be so with God, so in his presence, so in the knowledge of him, that I hear it, I speak it, and it's done. He had this heart. He says, I desire this. I've been walking after this. And this is a man who has walked in God's authority. But it lets us know that, hey, he hasn't arrived. He doesn't feel like he's arrived. And I don't think we've arrived either. Meaning, there's a process of growth. There's a process of doing. There's a process of experiencing and stepping out there by faith and saying, God, use me to speak your word, to declare your word over situations, and to speak from your authority. So with God-given authority, we can speak to situations or decree over situations to enact the purposes of God in these situations. We can change atmospheres. Do you know you can change atmospheres? When there's a dark, foreboding atmosphere that you're feeling, you can speak to it. Dark go, light come. You can speak to atmospheres. If there's an argumentative environment in your home, in your household, you can speak to that too. You can speak to that spirit that seems to be pitting everybody against each other. Saying, Lord, we don't accept this spirit of argument or disagreement or dissonance or whatever you might call it. We don't agree with it. We rebuke it. Go now. Lord God, let your spirit of shalom fall on our home. That happens to rhyme. Because that's what we need. And we have to speak it out to the atmosphere. Demons don't read our thoughts. They hear our voice. Amen. So we are able to decree a thing and see it come to pass. But we can't decree anything. You can't just decree anything that comes into your head. We decree the very will of God. I mean, we decree his purposes on this earth. Because we can go outside of his authority, and we can decree things that are not his will. We can just look at the sons of thunder. Remember who the sons of thunder are? James and John, Luke 9. I love this because they're passionate. They're zealous. They're ready to see the fire of God fall down from heaven and whoop up on some people. You ever felt that? I'm sure you have. Luke 9, 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. Remember, Samaritans and Jews are not in cahoots with each other. They're not happy with each other. So, to get things ready for him, but the people, the Samaritans there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. That's a big religious disagreement they were having. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? That's a mighty prayer right there, right? That's a mighty prayer. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. They needed rebuking. And then he and his disciples went to another village. So the sons of thunder, they were right. They were in the spirit of Elijah. They were ready for the prophets of Baal to die that day. They were wanting the fire from heaven. I mean, you know, God, I have to admit, I mean, I want God's power to show up in awesome ways. I want earthquakes. I mean, sometimes you want earthquakes to shake people and the confidence they have. Lord, put an earthquake in Washington, D.C. Shake them up there. Put the fear of God in them. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad prayer, but it may not be God's prayer. And so we have to listen to the voice of God. And even sometimes we need a rebuke that that's not the prayer that we need to be praying. We need to hear the voice of God. That's not the prayer we need to be praying. There's a different kind of prayer that we need to be praying. So we have to hear the voice of God. When we're not in alignment with God, we're not carrying his authority. We're doing things outside of his authority, and sometimes we're going on our own authority. That's not where we want to be. You know, using our authority in anger towards others does not line up with God's purposes, and we need to line up with God's purposes. So how we pray is important. And we could pray some very powerful prayers, and we should pray some very powerful prayers. But we should be led by the Spirit of God in those prayers, not the spirit of flesh. Because we see in the sons of thunder, John and James, they were experiencing their flesh. Again, Samaritans and Jews, they didn't get along so well. And this was a disagreement. I mean, this whole going to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans are like, well, we're not allowed to go to Jerusalem. I guess you're going to Jerusalem. Well, that's really great and grand for you, but you won't accept us. Well, we're not going to accept you right now. I mean, that was constantly going on. And so they were operating in their flesh. But we have to be careful. Because we are accountable to God. And so if we're going to walk in his authority, we can't just operate in the flesh. But there has to be a certain fear of the Lord that as we pray, Lord God, how would you want us to pray? What would you say? Lord, how would you handle this situation? Lord, how do we need to handle this situation? So that we will line up with God. Scripture tells us to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And if we don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to approach a situation. We need the wisdom of God. We need Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak. How are we to pray in this situation? Our prayer life is far more effective as we pray by the Spirit of God in us. Sometimes we can come into prayer and we can feel all kinds of fleshly. We could be angry. We could be upset. We could be dealing with something. But that's where we submit ourselves. Always submit yourself to God. I submit myself to you, Lord God. I submit the situation to you. And we begin to just submit ourselves. We begin to worship him. We begin to just come under his authority. And we will feel the Spirit of God rise in us. And the Spirit of God working in us. Sometimes that's where we just need to simply start in our prayers. Before we start praying about anything, praying about any situation, you know, we need to hold that list and put it aside and say, Lord, I know I'm going to pray about this, but Lord, I've got to come to you. I've got to make sure my heart is right with you. I got to make sure I'm not operating in the flesh, but I can really pray in the Spirit. And for some of you, you know how using tongues, your own personal tongues, is a gift. Because sometimes you don't have the words and you just need to pray in the Spirit, using tongues. And that edification of the Spirit in you starts bubbling up the Spirit in you to where you can get to a point where you can pray. In the right spirit. So that's a tool that God has given us. Our prayers should line up with God's will, his purposes on the earth, for the earth. It should line up with his word, with the word of God. That's important. What has God already said in his word? What does he already say? You know, that knowing the word of God is crucial because the Holy Spirit constantly will remind you of the word of God. He does that to me. You know, he'll remind me of something in the Word. And that's, go turn to that and then dig into that. Because God's showing you something. Maybe it's how to approach a situation. Maybe it's how to pray in a situation. Maybe he's just reminding you of something. But his Word is true. So God will remind us of his word. So we had to be in his word and pray according to his word and pray by his spirit. And it also requires us to listen. To listen. To just spend time. We can ask, but we also need to listen, to hear what Holy Spirit has to say, to direct us, to guide us, to help us. And even sense the kind of burden he's given to us to pray and how to pray. This is all being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So the more sensitive we are in our walk with God, the more sensitive we are in the Holy Spirit, the more we're available for God to use in prayer and to pray prayers according to his heart, according to his spirit. So our communion with God is tremendously important, tremendously. So this is why we do it daily, right? Not just in that desperate time of need. I mean, that's important, but I tell you, the time you spent with the Lord is going to help you become a much stronger prayer warrior because you're closer to the heart of God. People who are closer to the heart of God, you're going to sense more of what he desires and what he wants. Because along the way, we learn. We learn that we can have authority. That's important. That's important to learn. Actually, some Christians don't know that. So if you don't know, you have authority in Christ Jesus. You have authority to bring and do works, good works, great works of God on the earth today. But there's a difference between having authority and walking in authority. And that walking in authority always comes back to one thing. It comes back to relationship. What we just talked about. It always comes back to our relationship with God. That's why some people will walk in greater authority than others. Some Christians will walk in greater authority. Now, you might say, well, it's because they've been chosen by God. I mean, sure, Paul was chosen. There's no doubt about it. But I guarantee you, Paul had to spend many hours on his face every day to even do what he was doing and to walk in the authority that he was walking in. Jesus didn't do it alone. We talked about that last week. Jesus did everything his Father did and what his Father said. He spent copious amounts of time with the Father. He was always spending, getting away to be with the Father. Because I don't act alone. He says, I never act alone. I always am with the Father. We are one. That's just an example for us. If we're going to walk in any kind of authority, the greater our oneness is with the Lord, the more authority we'll carry. And we'll do according to what he wants us to do. John Paul Jackson, a prophet, said this. He said, you will never have authority greater than your relationship to God. You'll never carry authority greater than your relationship to God. It will reflect your relationship with God. Power is a gift. He says this. Power is a gift. Authority is a relationship. See, Holy Spirit gives gifts. Gifts of tongues, gifts of faith, gifts of healing. They're powerful. And it's power. It's the dunamis. We talked about dunamis power. Makes things happen. Makes limbs grow out. People have new organs. People have these healings that are amazing, miraculous healings. Power. But authority comes from relationship. We all have authority in Christ Jesus. We all have been given. Acts 17:28, I'll just say it simply. It says, for in Christ we live and move and have our being. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we move and live and have our being. Is that how life is for us? That's how we move. That's how we live. You see, if we fellowship with darkness, we will allow darkness to have authority in our lives. You know, we do. We will give place in our life, placement in our life for the enemy. If that's where we're fellowshipping, that's what we're doing. If we're just living in sin, unrepentant sin, we're giving place for authority to the enemy. The enemy has some authority in our lives because we're giving it to him. He has a room in our house, and he has the keys to the door. But if we forsake darkness, turning away from our willful sins, embracing our walk with God, we choose to fellowship with God and walk in the light as he is in the light, then we reject darkness, we rebuke it, and we have the power to say, get out of my house. You are not welcomed here because of Christ in us. So one point I just want to make here is that as we give our lives to the Lord, as we surrender, see, yieldedness and surrender is going to bring greater authority into your life. As you yield yourself to the Lord, as you surrender yourself to God. And then one way we live that out is obedience. You see, a yielded life will obey God. A not yielded life will think about it and consider if it's really what I really want to do or not. Don't feel like it. I'll do it some other time. Maybe I'll get around to it, God, when it becomes important to me, right? See, you're not going to carry authority. Greater obedience to God brings greater authority. I think God asks a question of us, each of us. He asks this question. He says, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you with kingdom works? Can I trust you with the works of Christ, my son? Can I trust you? The things that I've given and put into his hands, can I trust you with those things? Can I trust you with the small things, the little things? Because I want to know, if I can trust you with the little things, then perhaps I can trust you with greater things. Listen to Jesus, the teaching of Jesus to his disciples in John 16. John 16, verse 10, he says, let me read this. Maybe I gave you the wrong verse. Let me just read it. Yeah, I just take it off. Let me just read it. It says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? It's just simple. It says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest in the greater responsibilities. So God, I really believe this. God will test our faithfulness. He'll test it. There'll be times when he tests our faithfulness. He says, will you do it? Will you get up at 6 a.m. and pray? I'm going to give you a burden to pray at 6 a.m. in the morning. Will you get up and pray? Will you pray for an hour? Will you pray for 30 minutes? Will you pray? I mean, sometimes it's so simple. Sometimes it's so small. But faithfulness in small matters reflects our integrity before God. It's a simple question. Can God trust us? He's looking for people who will walk by faith, but also people who will be faithful, who will do the things that he calls us to do to obey him. I mean, it could be so simple as take out the trash, right? Take out the trash. It's your job today to take out the trash. Now, that could be in different contexts. But, you know, we could do it and say, okay, absolutely, I'll do it. I'll do it with joy in my heart, not because it's lovely, not because it's beautiful, but because it's been given for me to do. Or I could take out the trash grumbling and complaining. Why do I have to always take out the trash? Why is it always me? It's terrible, you know, it stinks, it's awful, it's terrible. You know, what I'm saying is the little things. How do we handle the little things? I think sometimes God will just ask us to take out the trash. Now you could put that to a spiritual context, however you want to put that to a spiritual context. But I think sometimes he asks us to do that. Will you do that? Will you do that simple thing? I think God gives us tests of obedience to say, hey, can I trust you with the greater things of God? Will you do it? Will you obey? It may seem small or unimportant to us, but how we handle the smaller things will tell God if we're ready for greater responsibility or authority. So there's measures. I really believe there are measures of authority. Right? I mean, I believe in what Dutch Sheets walks in is not what I walk in. Right? And God gives them assignments that are general level assignments that he's to speak into, dealing with nations, okay? Well, you or I may not be walking in that authority, but he didn't start there either. And he talks about how, and I just listening to Dutch Sheets over again this week, it's like he talks about how he had to just start hearing God in the mission field when he was young. And then when God called him to do something that he didn't understand, he was like, what? Are you sure? But he was hearing God. And when he would step out and do it and step out and speak it, he would see that God moved. And that built his faith and also built his authority. God could trust him in greater things. Again, John Paul Jackson says it's like this. If you want to pray for greater authority, it's like praying for greater patience. He's going to give you opportunities to grow. And so we can pray for greater authority and say, yes, Lord, I do. I want to operate in greater authority. But that means I need to pay attention to what he's given to me, assignments he's given to me now. They may not be great. They may not be big. They may be pretty small. But will I do it? Right? Will I do it? If he says I can do it, I can do it. And I can bring his authority into that situation. So God has called us all to have some measure of authority right where we're at. We may not be called to the nations, but we are called. We're called to go, and we're called to bear forth his great commission on the earth. Do the work that God has called you to do. And I really believe your measure of authority in the Lord will grow. So again, authority always comes back to our relationship with God. Our willingness to follow him, our willingness to do according to his will. It's not necessarily that people who are titled have any more authority than you do. Again, my title as a pastor doesn't make demons flee. They don't care. They only care about the authority I carry in Christ. And that will make them flee. And you are the same. Your education doesn't matter. Does anybody know who Smith Wigglesworth is? He didn't have a PhD. In fact, he was an uneducated man. He had to go to work when he was a kid and work for his family. He was very poor growing up. He only learned to read because his wife, Polly, taught him to read. And he only wanted to read because he wanted to read the Bible. He came to faith early on in his life. He wasn't educated, but he knew Jesus. He knew Christ. And he did walk in greater authority. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. Only out of his authority in Christ. Only. Because he knew Christ intimately. He knew the Word of God. Front and back, he loved the Lord. So we're not going to impress the enemy with our credentials. You know, who am I? Who are you? Except that we're sons and daughters of our living King, our great God. And he's given us work to do and the authority to do his work on the earth today. So what has he given you today? What does he put in your hands today? You can, in Christ, do all things. Step into it. See what he will do. Just through your simple obedience, your simple acts of obedience. Because you'll do something that I won't do. And together, though, the body of Christ is and will accomplish these greater things. But always come back to your relationship with God. Your relationship with Christ. Do you love him? Are you spending time with him? Are you listening for his voice? Are you ready for his assignment for you today? participate in this great work of God, in this great move of God on the earth today. What a privilege it is. And I pray that you'll be immensely blessed as your relationship with God grows and you see Him use you more. And may that bless you richly, that yes, He wants to use you in great things. So we pray, and I think we're just going to go to a time of prayer. And we're going to ask the Lord. It says, Lord God, give me ears to hear your voice. Give me a heart to know your love. Your love for me and your love for others. And God, may my mind, my will be surrendered to you, to obey you and to follow you all my days. So let that be our prayer this morning as we just go to prayer and we'll close our time of worship. Let's pray.